We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Sullivan Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 7, Mr. Darwin Entertains.
I tell you my name is Whiteman, sir. Oliver G. Whiteman of Charleston, South Carolina.
I beg your pardon. Obviously, I've made a mistake. It's a pity you're not Colonel Marquand, because I've got something which I think belongs to him.
What?
But, of course, if your name is Whiteman, sir...
What have you got that belongs to Colonel Marquand?
This.
What is it?
What does it look like?
Well, it looks like a piece of cord.
For your information, it is a cord. Probably part of the Venetian blind. It was used for a very horrible purpose.
What do you mean?
A girl was strangled with it.
What girl?
A certain Miss Jeans. She was strangled and her body was thrown into the Nile.
Yes, well, all this is mighty interesting, sir, but confusing, you see. My name is Whiteman, sir, Oliver J. Whiteman. And believe me, I've never even heard of your friend Colonel...
Marquand.
Colonel Marquand.
I'm sorry to have disturbed you, Mr. Whiteman.
Not at all, sir.
What did he say?
He says his name's Whiteman, and he's got an accent as phony as his moustache.
I saw you take something out of your pocket just now and show it to him. What was it, darling?
It was this.
Why? That's the piece of cord I found on the houseboat.
Yes. Steve, did you take a good look at Miss Jeans when she was in the water?
Yes.
She'd been strangled. Did you realize that?
Yes. I saw the red mark across her throat. I thought something like that had happened. Paul, was she murdered on the houseboat and then thrown into the river?
Yes.
What was she doing on the houseboat in the first place?
Someone must have sent for her. Unless, of course...
Unless what, darling?
Well, Miss Jeans was working with Marquand. We know that because of the conversation we overheard in the bedroom. Now, if Marquand deliberately...
Who's this?
Good evening, Herr Schreider.
Mr. Temple, this is a surprise.
I don't think you know my wife.
No, I have not had that pleasure. How do you do?
Mr. Schreider owns the El Passaro, dear, in Augusta. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, a delightful restaurant.
Oh, very kind, madame. I'm so glad you liked it.
Will you join us in a cocktail?
Well, that's very kind of you, but I am supposed to be dining with a business friend, and, well, I'm already a little on the late side. So, if you will excuse me.
Yes, of course.
Delighted to have made your acquaintance, Mrs. Temple. I hope we shall meet again.
I hope so, too.
Oh, Mr. Schreider?
Yes?
This friend of yours wouldn't by any chance be Colonel Marquand?
Colonel Marquand? But of course not. There is a warrant out for his arrest. Didn't you know that?
I did hear a rumor.
Mr. Temple, I wonder if you will forgive me if I ask a rather personal question.
That depends what it is.
What are you doing here in Cairo?
Well, I came originally to get data for a new book I'm writing, but...
But you've had other fish to cook.
That's one way of putting it.
After you left my cafe that night, I talked to Signore Rossetti. You remember Signore Rossetti?
Yes.
He told me that you had been asked to deliver a pair of spectacles to a man in Cairo by the name of Richard Sullivan. Is that correct?
What else did he say?
He told me that you had been offered £10,000 for the spectacles. That seems an awful lot of money for just a perfectly ordinary pair of spectacles. Don't you agree?
An awful lot of money, Mr. Schreider.
But, of course, it was just a joke.
I don't think so.
But who would make such an offer? Seriously, I mean...
And Mr. Constantine.
Mr. Constantine? But... He was the man you were looking for? The man you expected to find at my cafe?
Yes.
Why did he want those glasses? Do you know?
Well, presumably for the same reason that Colonel Marquand wants them.
Did Colonel Marquand offer you £10,000 for them?
Not exactly.
Well, it's all very odd, but most intriguing. Don't you agree, Mrs. Temple?
Most intriguing. How long have you been interested in them, Mr. Schreider?
Oh, I'm just curious, that is all. Ever since Signore Rossetti told me about the spectacles, I have been rather intrigued.
Then I take it you're not going to fall into line and make me an offer for them.
My offer is 12 and 6. Take it or leave it. Now, if you'll excuse me, good night, Mrs. Temple.
Good night, Mr. Schreider.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye, Schreider.
Well, what do you make of that, darling?
What do you make of it?
Well, obviously, Schreider doesn't know why Constantine offered you such a ridiculous sum for the glasses, and he was trying to find out if you knew.
That's one way of looking at it.
What's the other way?
Schreider knows what's behind the glasses, all right. And he knows why Constantine offered me £10,000 for them.
Then why should he so obviously go out of his way to pump you about them?
Because he's not sure in his own mind just exactly how much I know about this business. And he'd like to find out.
How much do you know, darling?
You'd be surprised. Ah, here's Darwin.
Oh, I do apologize. I'm terribly sorry, Temple. It's really quite unforgivable of me to keep you both waiting like this. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Temple.
That's all right. You sit here.
Oh, thanks. Well, how are you, Mrs. Temple? Are you feeling any better? You certainly look much better than you did this morning.
I'm much better, thanks. I certainly felt awful this morning.
Oh, good. You know, that was a peculiar business. I don't understand even now what really happened.
Well, I think I fainted.
Yes, but what made you faint?
I really don't know. I suppose it must have been the heat.
Well, it didn't look like the heat to me.
What did it look like?
It looked to me as if you'd been drugged or something.
Drugged?
Yes.
Why should anyone want to drug my wife?
Well, supposing you answer that question, Temple.
What do you mean?
Do you remember when we first met, the three of us? It was the night when we discovered the body of Joyce Raymond.
Yes, I remember.
And you remember our second meeting, at Sandbanks, when your boat had somewhat mysteriously overturned and I pulled you out of the water?
Well?
Well, by nature, I'm not a particularly inquisitive sort of person, Temple, but quite frankly, what the devil is it all about?
Let's have a cocktail, and then I'll tell you what it's all about.
Right. Well, shall we go inside or stay out here on the terrace? They've got rather a cute little bar here, Mrs. Temple, if you haven't seen it.
Is this the place I've read about? The bar's in the middle of a sort of illuminated aquarium.
That's it. Even the fish are lit up.
It sounds fascinating.
Come along, Mrs. Temple. But this is an incredible story. I can hardly believe it.
Whether you believe it or not, Darwin, it's true.
But, this girl, Sydney Jeans, was she after the glasses?
Yes.
But it really is incredible. Why should she go to such lengths to get hold of a perfect... You know, quite honestly, I still can't believe it. Oh, please, don't misunderstand me. I don't doubt your word for one moment, but it really is quite a story.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Darwin.
Is it your opinion, then, that these people are all working together, or...
Miss Jeans was working with Marquand, so is the other man I mentioned, Armstrong. But Quinn, the Irish fella...
The man that's supposed to be dead?
Yes, he's obviously hand in glove with Bari.
And what about the other man? The man you met in the flying boat, Constantine?
Well, he was obviously working alone. Or with someone else we haven't yet met.
In other words, it's your opinion that there are 3 or 4 separate groups of people all trying to get hold of the spectacles?
Yes.
Well, it really is quite incredible. What are they like, anyway, these spectacles?
They're just a pair of spectacles.
Have you got them on you?
No.
Why, would you like to buy them, Mr. Darwin?
Buy them? After what your husband's told me, I'd give the best part of £500 to get rid of the things. No, but seriously, I would rather like to see them.
All right. Pop into the hotel one morning and... Yes, waiter, what is it?
I beg your pardon, sir. Mr. Temple?
Yes?
I was asked to deliver this note to you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Wait a moment. Who gave you this?
A gentleman on the terrace, sir.
Which gentleman?
He gave no name, sir.
Well, what did he look like?
Well, he was an oddly dressed little man, sir. His hair was... What do you call it? A reddish color, auburn. He spoke English with a strange accent.
A foreign accent?
Not exactly foreign, sir.
It's Quinn, darling.
Yes. All right, waiter, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
What does the note say?
It doesn't say anything. At least nothing that makes sense. Here we are. Read it for yourselves.
XKD88.
XKD88. What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, it must mean something. Otherwise... What do you think, Paul?
Have you got your car here?
Why, yes, of course. I came in it.
What's the number?
DLK94. Look here, do you think this refers to a car, then? Do you think it's a registration number?
Well, if it isn't, what else is it?
I don't know. But I fail to see why Quinn... I say, just a minute, I'm beginning to catch on. This looks to me as if Quinn wants to see you, and he sent you the number of his car in the hope
Where's the car park here?
Yes, of course. It's over on the other side of the hotel.
Come on, Darwin. Show me where it is.
Well, this is certainly the car park, but I don't see any sign of XKD88.
No, neither do I.
What's that red car? The coupe?
The one with the GB plates?
Yes.
No, I don't think...
No, it's KY something or other.
Well, it doesn't seem to be here.
Nope, I'm afraid it doesn't.
I noticed one or two cars parked over on the other side. Did you?
Where?
Near the terrace.
No.
Let's have a stroll round there.
You know, maybe you were wrong about this temple, but perhaps it isn't a car number after all. In which case, we're on the wrong track.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
What was it?
Well, it might have been a car backfiring,
but... it didn't sound like a car to me.
No, it didn't to me either.
Well, whatever it was over on the other side where Mrs. Temple said the cars were parked.
Yes. Come on, let's go round there.
What's happened here?
Some crazy guy's blown his brains out. Didn't you hear the shot?
Yes.
What is it, Temple?
What's happened, darling?
I don't know, Steve. Will you excuse me, please?
Temple?
Yes, what is it?
Look at the car. Look at the number.
This is the one, Paul. Look. XKD88.
Excuse me. Excuse me, please. Do you mind, please? Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you.
Who is it? Is it Quinn?
Yes. He's apparently shot himself. He's still got the revolver in his hand.
Suicide?
But why should Quinn commit suicide?
Let's go back into the hotel.
You know, Temple, the thing I can't understand is why Quinn sent you this note. If he wanted you to meet him, why did he commit suicide?
If it was suicide?
Well, from what I can gather, the police seem pretty convinced.
Did you tell the inspector, or commandant, or whatever he calls himself, about the note?
Yes.
What did he say?
He doesn't seem to attach a great deal of importance to it. He seems pretty set on the suicide theory.
Here's the waiter. It's the one that brought you the note, Paul.
Yes.
May I take your order, sir?
Yes, by all means. I think to start with, we'll... have some of these flowers off the table.
It is rather like the botanical garden.
Oh, not the pink ones. They're lovely.
Leave the pink ones, Gustav.
Very good, sir.
Now, what would you like, Mrs. Temple? I can recommend... No, those are the pink flowers. Leave those and take the others.
I'm so sorry, sir.
Poor blighter seems to be in quite a dither.
Yes. I think the police had a word with him about the note.
Ah, that accounts for it. Now, Mrs. Temple, as I was saying, I can recommend...
You can recommend what you like, Mr. Darwin. I know what I'm having. I'm having a large steak and chips.
This isn't the sort of place that specialises in steak and chips, Mrs. Temple, but I can recommend the Gebner Bader Belzatun L...
No.
No?
Ever since we left England, I've been looking forward to a square meal. So where is the sort of place that specialises in steak and chips?
Jump in, Mrs. Temple.
Are you sure this isn't taking you out of your way?
Of course it isn't. I can drop you at the hotel as easy as pie. What's the matter, old boy?
I seem to have lost my confounded cigarette case. I'm sure I had it.
Oh, you had it at the table, darling.
Yes, I know I did.
Is it in your inside pocket?
No. No, I'm afraid it isn't. I must have put it down somewhere.
Well, I hope you haven't lost it.
I'll pop back to the table. Will you excuse me for a moment?
Yes, of course.
I shan't be long, Steve. Waiter.
Sir.
Would you mind telling that waiter over there that I'd rather like to have a word with him?
Which waiter, sir?
The dark one with the black hair, the one they called Gustav.
Ah.
I shall be on the terrace.
Very good, sir.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Ah, yes. I gather the commandant had a chat to you about that note.
Yes. He wanted to know who gave it to me.
What did you tell him?
I told him the truth. It was given to me by the gentleman who committed suicide.
Mr. Quinn?
Yes, Mr. Quinn.
Did you identify Mr. Quinn?
What do you mean, sir?
Well, you've seen Quinn, I take it, since he was shot?
Yes.
Did you identify him as the man who handed you the note?
But of course. He was the man who gave me the note.
Had you ever spoken to him before?
Why, no, sir. I'd never even seen him before.
Had anyone else spoken to you about him?
No, sir.
What is your name?
Gustav Valkyrie, sir.
Well, Valkyrie... I wonder if you would do something for me. Just come over here for a moment. Now, you see that lady over there at the table near the window?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what sort of a dress is she wearing?
What sort of a dress is she wearing?
Yes. What colour is it?
I'm sorry, sir, I can't tell you the colour.
Oh? Why not?
Because I'm what you call colour blind, sir.
colorblind?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I rather gathered that when you made the mistake with the flowers. Well, if you're colorblind, Valkyrie, would you mind explaining to me how you were able to describe Mr. Quinn as an oddly dressed little man with reddish, auburn hair?
But he was an oddly dressed little man with auburn hair.
That's not quite the point. How did you know?
I could see him.
You could see the color of his hair?
Look here, what are you getting at?
I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that, in my opinion, Quinn didn't give you that note. Someone else gave it to you and told you to bring it to me.
That's a lie. I tell you that Quinn gave it to me. He gave me the note and told me to deliver it to you in the cocktail bar.
Supposing I told you that the police are under the impression that Quinn was murdered.
But Quinn committed suicide. He had the revolver in his hand.
He had a revolver in his hand.
What do you mean?
I've got a theory about this, Valkyrie. About what happened tonight, I mean. Before I can prove whether my theory's right or wrong, I've got to know the truth. Who gave you that note?
I've told you.
Who gave you that note?
If you think you're going to bully me into...
Who gave you that note?
I've told you Quinn gave it to me. Oh, my arm! Don't! Please, don't!
Are you going to tell me what happened?
Don't! Please, don't!
Are you going to tell me what happened, Valkyrie?
I've told you the truth, I swear!
Are you going to tell me what happened?
All right! I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Go on. Go on, Valkyrie.
Just before you and Mrs. Temple arrived here tonight, a man told me to...
Sorry to have been such a long time.
Well, that's all right, old boy. Did you find your cigarette case?
Yes, the waiter had it. I must have left it on the terrace.
Well, things certainly seem to happen to you two.
Yes.
Your shirt's awfully crumpled, darling.
Hmm?
Your shirt?
Oh, yes. I've been running.
Well, jump in. Are you quite comfy, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks.
Temple, I've been thinking about what you've told me, I mean.
Yes?
Do you think Miss Fraser's mixed up in this business? Do you think she's after the spectacle?
Miss Fraser? Why mention poor Miss Fraser?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps it's my imagination, but she seems rather an odd sort of person. Also, she... well, she keeps popping up every now and again, doesn't she?
What do you mean, Mr. Dark?
Well, she stayed at the hotel in Bournemouth, one where Joyce Raymond was murdered. She was on the flying boat. Naturally, she stayed the night in Augusta, and... Well, I've...
You've what?
I've seen her several times in Cairo.
I thought you were quite friendly with her. You invited her to the Alpasaro.
Yes, I was rather hoping she'd give me an introduction to her brother.
But I thought you knew her brother.
No, I've never met him. I'm afraid I was pulling a fast one.
Yes, well, I don't think we need worry about Miss Fraser.
No?
No.
Well, how do you account for the lozenge, the peppermint?
Which particular peppermint?
The one we found by the bedroom door.
Well, quite obviously, Miss Fraser must have dropped it.
Well, there you are.
What do you mean, there you are?
Mr. Darwin means that Miss Fraser must have been in the bedroom, otherwise...
But I know Miss Fraser was in the bedroom.
How do you know?
She told me. Not only that, but I inquired at the reception desk. You see, Miss Fraser was very late arriving at the hotel. Actually, she checked in just as Armstrong was about to leave. They offered her the same room. She took the room and took a dislike to it.
And that accounts for... Do be careful, Mr. Darwin.
Is anything the matter?
I don't know. The steering seemed a bit odd.
Have you been having trouble with it?
No.
Well, take it steady. It's rather tricky just here.
Dashed if I can understand it.
Is it all right now?
Yes, I think so.
Do be careful.
Don't worry, Mrs. Temple. I won't take any risks. It started again. What the devil is it? Temple, what on earth's the matter with it?
Oh.
Brake. Put your brakes on. Break!
Well, that's extraordinary. I couldn't control the vessel.
Are you all right, Steve?
Yes, I'm all right, darling.
I'm sorry about this, Mrs. Temple.
Let me feel the steering wheel.
Something seemed to snap. I felt it when I put the brake on.
Hmm.
Do you think it's serious?
Let's get out and have a look. Switch your engine off.
Can you see anything?
No wonder you couldn't steer very well, Darwin.
Why? What's happened?
The drag link's been forced out of its socket. It was only held together by this piece of wire.
What do you mean?
Sooner or later, this was bound to give way and the steering go to pieces.
But that's ridiculous. I only had the car overhauled yesterday. Are you trying to tell me the car's been tampered with?
Apparently things happen to you too, Darwin.
We are Hotel Continental.
Well, thanks for the buggy ride.
Hotel Continental.
I'm terribly sorry about this, Mrs. Temple. Do you know, I've had that car for 5 years, and that's the first time it's let me down.
That's all right, old boy.
Hotel Continental.
Oh, gosh, my back.
Are you coming in to have a drink, Darwin?
No, but I'm coming in to order a car. I've had quite enough of this barouche.
Hotel Continental.
What's he keep saying?
Well, he's saying Hotel Continental, but what he really means is, how about it?
Oh.
Well, here we are, Ben Hur. Do you think you could get me a private car?
Where for, sir?
The Cosmopolitan.
Yes, I think so, sir, if you will be kind enough to wait a few moments.
Thank you.
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
The gentleman you are expecting has arrived, sir. He is in your room.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I'll say good night. I'm sorry it turned out to be such a grim evening, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, that's all right. Good night, Mr. Darwin.
Good night, Darwin.
Good night, Temple. Oh, now don't forget, you promised to let me see those glasses.
Well, I'm afraid I can't show you them tonight, but if you'd care to drop in the hotel tomorrow sometime.
That's a date.
Why, hello, Miss Fraser.
Why, good evening, Mr. Temple. Mrs. Temple. And Mr. Darwin, marry, quite a party.
We've just been dining with Mr. Darwin at the Keramet.
At the Keramet? Now, isn't that a delightful place? Is it the first time you've been there, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, it's really lovely.
One of the nicest places I've ever been to. Certainly one of the nicest in Egypt.
Your card has arrived, Miss Fraser.
Oh, thank you. Oh, dear. I'm always dropping my handbag. I don't know why it is, but... Oh, just look at everything all over the place.
It's all right, Miss Fraser. Now, here's your glasses. Oh, and your handkerchief.
Thank you.
And your diary.
Thank you.
And your purse, Miss Fraser.
Oh, thank you. Oh, dear, I certainly am a butterfingers.
I'm rather afraid you've lost one or two peppermints.
I shall be losing my head one of these fine days.
And is this yours, Miss Fraser?
Oh, the revolver. Yes, yes, that's mine, Mrs. Temple. Thank you. It's small, but it's a real one, you know.
Yes, I can quite believe it.
My brother gave it to me a long time ago. It's a sort of curio. It often makes people laugh, you know, to think of me carrying a thing like that around.
Yes.
Why do you carry it around, Miss Fraser?
Why? Let me show you, Mr. Darwin. You hold it in your hand like this. You put your finger on the trigger.
Is it loaded?
Yes, it's loaded.
Well, would you mind pointing it the other way, you know, just in case?
No, but it's quite all right. You see, you just press the trigger, and it springs open, and it's loaded with peppermints.
Yes. Well.
Now, did you say my car was ready?
Yes, madam.
Can I drop you anywhere, Mr. Darwin?
Well, I want to get to the Cosmopolitan, but...
Oh, I'll drop you at the door with pleasure.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Not at all. Well, we'll say good night, Mr. Temple.
See you tomorrow.
Look here, why don't you dine with us tomorrow night, Miss Fraser? You too, Darwin.
It's very kind of you, Mr. Temple. I should be delighted.
Darwin?
Yes. Yes, splendid, old boy.
I can show you the glasses then.
Right.
8 o'clock.
Splendid.
Well, till tomorrow night then. Au revoir, Mrs. Temple.
Goodbye, Miss Fraser.
See you tomorrow then.
Yes.
Cheers.
Is Sir Graham upstairs?
Yes, darling, he's in our room. Hmm. He's waiting for us. When I asked you over the telephone, Sir Graham, what you were doing here in Cairo, you said I'm here because of the spectacles. What did you mean by that?
Have you still got the spectacles? The ones that Miss Raymond gave you?
Of course I've got them.
Well, where are they?
Well, just at the moment, they're in a safe deposit at the Anglo-Egyptian Bank.
Hmm. You obviously didn't believe in taking risks, Temple.
I believe in taking risks, Sir Graham. You know that. But not unnecessary ones.
Well, it's darn nice to see you again, both of you. And considering all that's happened, you're both looking remarkably fit.
Before we left for Cairo, Sir Graham, I read a report in one of the newspapers that you'd retired. Is that true?
No. I've been transferred. There's been a sort of general upheaval at the Yard. I'm now in control of what's known as the Central Criminal Investigation Bureau. It means more responsibility, but thank the Lord, I've got a completely free hand.
Well, that's something.
I should say so.
You still haven't told us what you're doing in Cairo, said Graham.
Just shortly after you left England, Temple, I received information from the governorate in Egypt.
What is that?
It's the equivalent of our Scotland Yard. Oh. Informing me that certain new facts had come to light concerning the Monton robbery. Now, the Monton robbery, you may recall, actually... What's that?
What?
Didn't you hear it?
No.
I could have sworn I heard...
Darling.
What is it?
Paul, listen.
What is it, Temple?
There's someone at the window. Someone on the balcony.
I'll draw the curtain.
No, no, wait. Put the light out, Steve. Now, wait a minute. Stay back there, Steve.
Paul!
It's Armstrong!
Temple, open the window! Open the window, be quick!
What is it? What do you want?
Temple, listen. I want to tell you about Marquand. I want to tell you why he delivered...
Paul! Look out, Temple! There's someone in a car firing from the street!
Be careful, Paul!
Temple, Marquand's double-crossed me. He's thrown in his lot with Schreider and decided...
Paul, look out!
It's Marquand! He's trying to stop
me! Get down, Temple! Get down!
Get down, Paul!
That was the seventh episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Sullivan Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Richard Greenwood, Eliza Langland, Angus McInnes, Michael McKenzie, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production was by Patrick Rayner.